Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, and shalom to and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name, and some of you know me already, is Rabbi John Wesley. And for the next 30 minutes, I'll be one of your hosts. And, of course, I am a Messianic pastor. And our quest, the whole concept of this particular broadcast, is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, which answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Yeshua, or Jesus. At this time, I am honored to introduce the other part of that co-host that I mentioned earlier, and that is Minister Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, and welcome, everyone. I'm glad to be able to attend the second show of Ask the Messianic Rabbi with Rabbi John, and to just let you all know, it is truly a blessing to be a co-host of this show with Rabbi John. Thank you, Rabbi John.
You're welcome. So what I'm going to do now is go ahead and pray. If that, and then just to allow the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, to begin to infiltrate the airways and just control the atmosphere and allow Him and Him alone to begin to answer the perplexing questions. And then I'll pass it, of course, to you, Minister Tanita, so that you can kind of give us some of the questions that individuals have concerns about pertaining to this Hebraic walk, as you will, that is in the New Testament. So, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we give you praise, we give you honor. We first ask forgiveness for any sin, any iniquity, any transgression that we've committed against you, against ourselves, and against others. Abba, we willingly also take it a step further, and we forgive those who we have offended and who have offended us. So all of those who have offended us, Father, we also choose. We make a quality decision, not based upon our strength or our power, but based upon your ability and based upon the leading of the Ruach, the Spirit of the living God. We choose to forgive them as well. We ask that you hold it not to their charge, and we choose not to hold it to their charge. In Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well,
Amen.
With that, I'm going to pass it on to Minister Tanita and just allow her to get us started with the first question.
Yes. And so thank you, Rabbi John, and praise Yah for the prayer and the blessing. The first thing that I wanted to start out with is asking for you to give a definition of what salvation is. What does it mean? How does it work? From the Hebraic viewpoint for our listeners.
Okay. All right. And of course, when we say from the Hebraic viewpoint, all that are listening, I want to make sure you understand. We're not trying to come up with a new Hebraic dialect on or definition for the word salvation. We're going to use the Bible. I mean, that's what it's there for. We do understand that there are some inconsistencies, and as those arise, we will deal with those. But for the most part, this whole show is centered around the actual New Testament. Yes, we do from time to time go to the Old Testament as well. But it's for the New Testament believer, so that we can really get a grasp of, okay, is there anything that I'm missing or was misinterpreted to me that has caused me to miss the right relationship? And we'll start off with that question that was already posed, and that's salvation. Oftentimes, and I didn't grow up Messianic, I didn't grow up Jewish. That's something that the Father had in my pathway later in my life. So with that being said, you know, I grew up like probably most of the individuals here on this call. I grew up with parents that were, for the most part, evangelical. So therefore, the salvation concept that was already mentioned was something to me that was geared more towards Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And if Minister Tanita can get that, I'll have her read that. Just let me know when you have it.
Okay.
But that was more or less what the manner in which I understood salvation to be. One of the other things, while she's getting that, was I was of the understanding that I would be saved to something. Now, some of you there, or if not most of you, may not have had that perplexing misunderstanding, if you will. But I was thinking I was going to be saved toward or to heaven. Okay?
Yes.
And instead, what later in life, I began to realize that was incorrect, a very poor, incorrect assumption on my part. Because the salvation piece is a salvation from, not to. So those prepositions, I had to make sure I got those prepositions right because I had them mixed and screwed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was getting saved to, and in actuality, biblically speaking, I was being saved from. Okay?
Yeah.
So if Minister Tanita could go ahead and read that particular passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And she can also read 10 if that's okay with some of you out there. And I'm sure it's familiar to most of you because it was to me, and it was something that was a part of the Romans road to salvation, if you will. Go ahead.
Yes. And just so you know, I'm reading the New King James Version.
Okay.
So it says, Romans 10, verse 8, what does the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart? That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Okay. So with that aspect of that particular passage, what I was taught was that all I had to do, and I'll emphasize that word again, all I had to do was to confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, and then I would be saved. Now, I had no idea that the term Savior or salvation and Lord or Lordship were two different aspects of what is supposed to happen to a believer. I had no idea.
Yes.
I thought that just because I verbalized it all in the same sentence, I would get the whole entire package.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And that's all I had to do. Okay. Now, I'm not negating living a holy life. I'm not negating having a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not negating reading your Bible and all of those things that we're taught as Christian disciples to be and to do. Okay? But what I am saying to you is that what was not shared with me was that this understanding that Paul of Tarsus was sharing had so much more into it than what meets the eye when you read it. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Paul also wrote in Romans, and he wrote it before Romans chapter 10, and that is in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and I would love for Minister Tanita to read that, because chapter 3 comes before chapter 10,
That's
at least in most of our Bibles.
And
oftentimes we take things so much out of context, and then we run with them, and then we wonder why they're not working right. Why is it not being applied in my life like it is in Spongetta's life? You know, because Spongetta, she's got it all together. You know? So that's why this broadcast, that's why let's look and see what the Bible really does say, and then let's try to understand, how do I really, really apply this? And has it really been applied to me? Do I need to check my pedigree? Do I need to check, go back and check all the prerequisites to make sure I've checked all these blocks off? Because I made a lot of assumptions based upon the assumptions that were given to me.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So Romans chapter 3. Okay, verse 1 and 2. Go ahead.
Okay. So Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Again, this is New King James Version. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them are committed the oracles of God.
Okay. So I always was taught that Paul was totally against all of that Jewish stuff, you know, the Torah and just all of the things that they do, you know. And what I began to realize is that couldn't be any further from the truth. What I began to realize is we were misinterpreting his epistles. We were misinterpreting his information. We were losing the fact that he was focused on a certain people group or a certain topic within a certain people group at the time. And we never took that into consideration for most of us. Not saying everybody, but most of us, at least for myself. And I can speak, you know, pretty candidly for myself. And so what I began to see and realize, and the Holy Spirit began to show me, is that not only did Paul believe in the Torah, Paul believed that the components and understanding of what the Father had given to the Jew was essential for salvation and for righteousness. It was essential for New Testament believers.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular passage, he is exemplifying that very fact. But one of the things that he's focusing on most of all is the very oracles, the what we sometimes call the Rhema word, you know. In the Hebrew would be the Dabar, you know, word of God, the very spoken, or Amar, word of God that was spoken. So what he's saying is, don't discredit or discount these spoken words, because they're still as alive as they were when they were spoken before. Now, yes, there is something that Yeshua is doing that changes the construct of the term salvation. But he had to do it because we were in a lost state, because we weren't walking according to Torah, and because we could not find our way. So that's the whole purpose and the whole reason for John chapter 3, verse 16. Pertaining to salvation. We're still talking about the salvation piece, but I would like for Minister Tanita to go to John chapter 3, verse 16. See, because this is the whole aspect for that reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we have to understand that.
Yeah. Okay, I have it.
And we also have to understand. Okay, good. And we also have to understand who in the world was talking and who was he talking to. Go ahead.
Okay. John chapter 3, verse 16, and this is New King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Okay. Now, in most Bibles, I mean, a lot of Bibles are starting to change versions and stuff like that, but in most Bibles, I believe that's in red, isn't it?
Yes,
and what
it
I mean
is.
By that. Excuse me. And what I mean by that is that was spoken by Yeshua, by Jesus. Now, the next question is, who was he speaking to? Who was he speaking to? Well, if we go all the way back to the beginning of that particular chapter, which is chapter 3, we quickly find out, aha, he's speaking to Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, it says in most Bibles that he's a ruler of the Jews. A more correct version would properly say that he is a rabbi of the Jews, because he was a part of the Sanhedrin. Okay, so he's a part of the 70 rabbis that were basically like the Supreme Court, if you will. So Nicodemus knew so much more, obviously, being a learned man, he knew so much more about this topic than the average Israeli or the average Jew. And because of that, we don't want to just jump to John chapter 3, verse 16, and then, you know, broadcast it all over the world. Not that it's wrong, but it must have a follow-up. And the reason why I say it must have a follow-up is because Yeshua, Jesus, spoke some very, very important foundational pieces pertaining to salvation and pertaining to lordship that he was able to speak to Nicodemus, but to any one of us who were not learned like Nicodemus, he couldn't go into deep detail. He could just give, you know, like, you know, the Sermon on the Mount and heal a few people and just all of that, because that is where their faith lied. That's where their desire was. Nicodemus wanted what we would consider the whole enchilada. That he wanted the essence of the whole purpose, because he knew that if this man was the Messiah, then he would fulfill all of the essence. So that's why when he came to him, he came to him with the desire and the earnest fervor to get the essence of what he had been studying. Okay? So when he came to greet him, and then we're going to jump from there to verse 3 of chapter 3.
Okay.
And we're going into John now, the Gospel of John.
Yes.
What we're going to see is that we're going to see that Yeshua already knew by the Spirit, obviously, word of knowledge. Mm-hmm. The gifts of the Spirit obviously were manifesting in Yeshua, in Jesus. He, Jesus, began to answer the essence of the questions that Nicodemus so desired to learn and to know. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, you want me to read verse 3 of chapter 3, Rabbi John?
Yes, verse 3 of chapter 3 of the Gospel of John.
Okay, John chapter 3, verse 3, and again, this is New King James Version. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
Okay, stop there for just a second. For those of you that may desire or like to underline in your Bibles, this is a good place to get your highlighter or your pen or pencil or what have you, and then highlight a couple of words in verse 3. And one of those is born again. And remember, that was a relatively brand new term to Nicodemus, because he was not accustomed to that term spoken with the type of definition that Yeshua had for it. Okay? All right, number two word, the number two. Number one was born again. Number two word is the word see, S-E-E. Okay? It's important. And the reason why it's important, because in my Christian walk, what had happened in the way that I was taught this was that verse 3 and verse 5 interconnected with each other, and it was the same understanding. In other words, the broad understanding of born again was spoken in verse 3. Then verse 5 goes into more of a detail of this born again process. Okay? That's incorrect. And we'll go into that, because we're still talking about what? The word salvation. Okay? We're still talking about that. All right? So, well, of course, we're going to read verse 4. And for most of you that already know and have already way ahead of where we are, you know and are aware that Nicodemus honestly and truthfully was trying to figure this thing out. But he was trying to figure it out in the flesh. And in the flesh, he was thinking, okay, do I need to go back into my mother's womb and be born? So that gives you a good understanding of the fact that this was a relatively new term to him that he really didn't understand or have a grasp of. Okay? Then verse 5, we're going to read that as well. But when we read that, I want you to pay attention, because I have been approached by individuals in the past that whenever I've shared this particular passage, they had the wildest ideas. Some of them I'd never even thought to even think this way not that they in themselves are wrong, but the ideas, you can tell that they did not come from an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because they would say, well, verse 5 is when the child breaks through their amniotic fluid, and that's what it's talking about in the A part of verse 5. So I'm going to have her read it. I just wanted to set you up for that so that you can begin to hear that and try to see if you can reason that out for yourself, and then we're going to clarify. Okay, so we're going to read verse 4, and then we're going to read verse 5 of chapter 3 of the Gospel of John.
Okay. John chapter 3, reading verses 4 and 5, New King James Version. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God."
So, unless someone is born, that's where this individual was saying, well, it's obvious they're talking about amniotic fluid. No, it is not obvious. And no, that is not the correct answer. All right? Because when you think about it, as Yeshua is speaking about this person, he is saying that this person has a choice. Now, I don't know about you, but when just before I became a twinkle in my dad and mom's eye, I don't think I had a choice to decide whether or not I wanted to be born in amniotic fluid or not.
Right.
Yes, I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but I'm trying to get the point across. Here, in this particular passage, in the A part of verse 5, Yeshua is saying, if or unless, meaning this person has a choice to do this or not. Being born of the Spirit, of course, we know that that's also the understanding of being baptized of the Spirit. Now, some people don't believe that. They believe that once you've accepted Jesus, you've accepted all of the Holy Spirit that you're supposed to have. Now, that's incorrect. But moving right along, because we want to make sure that we finish the question pertaining to salvation, salvation from as opposed to salvation to something. Verse 5 is talking about the lordship or the righteousness portion of the relationship with Jesus Christ, with Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
The born-again part is the part that references and is talking about the confession of sins and a confession of faith. Okay? Now, it's important to understand that this is not something that Yeshua himself started. He did not start this concept. Okay? He was handed this baton by John the Baptist, or Yochanan. Okay? The individual that caused water baptism. And
yeah,
we can prove that by going to the Gospel of Mark and reading chapter 1 all the way up to about 4 or 5. Okay?
Okay.
We can prove that.
Okay. Do you want me to read it, Rabbi?
Yes, if you would, please.
Okay. All right. Mark chapter 1, again, the King James, New King James Version, starting from verse 1 to verse 5. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Stop. It says, in the beginning of what?
The gospel of Jesus
of
Christ,
what?
The Son of God. The Son
now,
of God.
And what did I say? I said, I told you guys that Jesus Christ did not start the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wanted to emphasize, that's the only reason why I wanted to stop you, is because I wanted to emphasize you paying attention to who is the individual that started the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
Right. Okay, as it is written in the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your place before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin.
All right, stop there for a second.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So now what we've got is we have, out of Isaiah, the application of the prophetic word from Isaiah pertaining to the spirit of Elijah that would go before Yeshua, and the spirit of Elijah here in the New Testament lands on and moves from within of John the Baptist, okay? And John the Baptist is starting the whole system, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And in the system that he starts, he has a mechanism. That mechanism is the water immersion. Excuse me, got a little cold. Water immersion, and that water immersion is for the remission of sin. It's not for the forgiveness. This is important to understand. Because oftentimes we get the word forgiveness of sin and remission of sin construed.
Right.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So what you've got is you've got a situation where the remission of sin
mm-hmm.
is spoken here.
And so with the remission of sin, Rabbi, is that one like the confessing of sin? Since you stated it's not the forgiveness of sin, what is the remission of sin?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, go back over that one more time while I take a drink.
So when you say the remission of sin, okay, and you told us that the remission of sin and asking for forgiveness of sin are two different things. So can you explain what is the remission of sin? Is that confessing their sin? Or is that something? What is the remission of
sin? Now, the forgiveness of sin would be
mm-hmm.
the confession.
Okay.
And as we read further, you're going to see where they confess their sins, the remission
right.
of sins, okay, is the water immersion,
mm-hmm.
and that's the lordship or the taking away
right.
of the sin. So go ahead and read
okay.
that.
Taken away. All right. Okay. So at verse 4, it says, John was baptizing in the wilderness and preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Verse 5, then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins.
There you go. So not only did he baptize them, but he didn't baptize them until they confessed first.
Right.
Now that confession was an added construct to this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if we jump real quick to Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, okay, that Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 is a another look, another pictorial picture of this gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay, I'm there, Rabbi. I can read it.
Okay, all right. Yeah, go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, and this is, again, is the New King James Version. And it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Keep reading.
Okay, keep reading.
Go ahead and keep reading. Yes, ma'am.
Verse 8, therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even
Amen.
Now, okay. Amen.
Oh, excuse me. All right. We're going to have to stop there not because of my cough, but because we're running out of time. So I'm going to pass it to Minister Tanita, and we will pick up here the next broadcast. But I want to make sure that Tanita covers those scriptures as she closes, okay?
Yes. So I will definitely make sure that we will pick up this on the next broadcast. Just in conclusion, I want to say thank you for attending the show, and I know Rabbi will close us out with prayer. But the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. If you desire to attend Beth Hashem Ministries, which is the name of the ministry, if you would email us at BethHashem@yahoo.com for directions. That's BethHashem@yahoo.com. You can also go to the website, which is BethHashem.org. And then there's a we have a Facebook page on www.facebook.com/BethHashem Ministries. And we would just like to thank you for attending the show, and I will hand it back over to Rabbi Dunn.
Oh, amen. Very well done. Well, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you as we pause here that you are getting things straight for us. You're helping us to begin to understand the innuendos or the details of something that seemingly looks so simple as far as salvation and lordship, and understanding that the definition biblically is a little bit more complicated but not impossible to understand. Not denying the fact that we have a relationship with Jesus, but helping us to understand the way that that relationship does work properly. Father, we can use a screwdriver to be a chisel in a pinch when we need it. But it's more appropriate for a screwdriver to be used to unloosen and to tighten screws. So, Father, help us in this understanding to begin to understand how truly you wanted the word to be brought, the gospel, and what the true gospel is. Father, I bless each and every person on the call. I thank you for your anointing, for them to be Bereans, for them to begin to listen and to go back and study for themselves and to ask you those same questions that they desire to ask us. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And Father, I just thank you for my co-host, and I just ask for you to just continue to bless her and to keep her and to make your face shine upon her and to fulfill her chiastic structure in Yahushua's name. Amen. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. Shalom.